Really, I'm afraid he left me with no option.
I'm very surprised. I'm very disappointed.
I think they're going to struggle without them. I think it was a very foolish decision, and I think it's one that will be regretted.
Pastor Mai, hello and welcome to this episode of Agenda. I'm Ewan Gorn. On this programme, we're focusing on the ministerial sacking, which seemed to come out of the blue last week. Chris Thomas was dismissed from the Council of Ministers for voting against the government on a controversial planning motion. The Chief Minister said he failed to follow the ministerial code, but the former Policy and Reform Minister insists he did nothing wrong. A week is a long time in politics, as they say. Last Monday, Chris Thomas began the day as Policy and Reform Minister. Today, he's a backbencher, one likely to challenge the government as it tries to navigate the fallout from COVID-19. Mr. Thomas was dismissed for voting down a motion brought in under emergency powers in Tynwald last Tuesday to have written submissions only at virtual planning inquiries. The motion failed after it was unanimously rejected by the Legislative Council, which felt it limited the opportunity for the public to participate in the planning process. Well, Chief Minister Howard Quayle said Mr. Thomas's rebel vote left him with no other option but to dismiss him as it broke government rules on collective responsibility. Here is the Chief Minister explaining more to Sean Cowper on Manx Radio's Breakfast programme last Friday.
If someone has a clearly defined position and a transparent position, we were proposing that the public could write in to an inspector. You currently have that as one of the options, as your choice of having an inspector do the hearing by written submission. I think 91% of all the cases in the UK, I'm advised, that's how they do it. We also offer a public hearing for members of the public to ask and fund a public hearing where the inspector hears everyone in the room and then makes a decision based on the evidence put before him. Now, the impracticalities of doing that for a short period of time, the inspectors won't come over because of the coronavirus. And with IT failures, I think we saw during the debate when sadly Minister Thomas voted against the Council of Ministers, one member's IT crashed and couldn't vote on a topic. One member couldn't be heard. And therefore, that's one of the reasons why at this moment, though things are improving all the time, it was felt that we couldn't use the IT for having these sort of discussions for planning appeals, because if someone didn't have, and that's, you know, we crashed in Tynwald with one member, and that was with our government technology services backing them up. Some members of the public won't have the very best IT systems and could lose the opportunity to have their say, whereas at least with a written submission, if the inspector wants anything more, he can write out for it. So it's a pity it happened. I'm really sad and disappointed. I worked with Chris for 3.5 years, and he has done an incredible amount of work on the programme for government, and I sincerely thank him for that. I will personally miss him in the Council of Ministers, but once he'd voted against the Council of Ministers publicly, having been advised that he didn't have a clear position, we'd had it checked into, and I'd written to him or had the Chief Secretary write to him to advise he didn't have a position, he still went ahead and voted against the Council of Ministers. Now, he also walked out of Tynwald on border closure without having commented at all to anyone that he was going to do that. So really, I'm afraid he left me with no option. My sacking of him was just a formality. He effectively resigned when he voted against Council of Ministers.
As well as having a minister vote against this move, LegCo didn't back it either. Is there a lack of support for these measures?
No, this is the first time we had been beaten, and sadly, Chris had spoken to some of the Legislative Council members about this topic, and that itself is a breach of the ministerial code to discuss issues that are against your colleagues. It's sad. The elected members of Tynwald of the House of Keys voted in favour by a majority on this measure. But look, it happened. There's not a lot I can do about it. The clear rules have been broken. I was left with no way out. And we are in the situation we are. As I say, I thank Chris for all his hard work. And we will find a replacement and move on. It's not something that's happened before where someone has done this, when they've been advised in writing that they don't have the leave to vote against their colleagues. And so it's a very rare occurrence. I'm sad it's happened, but it has happened and we've got to move on.
Does the block vote actually work, though? I mean, surely you don't want a council of ministers that are just yes men.
No, the voting system on the collective responsibility allows ministers to speak openly and freely in the Council of Ministers. If they have a pre-declared position that's clearly pre-declared, then yes, they do have the right to vote against the Council of Ministers. If it's a matter of conscience, such as Mrs. Kane's divorce bill or Dr. Allenson's abortion legislation that he moved, then all ministers get a free vote. So it's not something that you can never vote against the Council of Ministers. Most of the time, the vast majority of the time, we are unanimous in our decisions, but from time to time we'll have a 7-2 or an 8-1 or once in a blue moon a 5-4, but that is how all other local authorities, or if you're part of a charity and you're on a committee, you will have a chair, you will have members, you will have a vote. A vote will be taken and the majority decision works. So it's worked well for the last 40 years on the Isle of Man, and I'm sure it will continue to do so. I can't think of another alternative where you have 9 people, all from different parties, effectively all independents, working together under a unity for the good of the island. And occasionally we will disagree. We'll all disagree on something. But we have a vote, we talk about it freely, and then once we've had that vote, we move on and support the majority decision.
The Chief Minister, Howard Quayle. Well, in Mr Thomas's 2016 manifesto, he states that planning should be transparent, fair and depoliticised. The Douglas Central MHK says Comyn's failed attempt to change planning law in this way was disastrous, and that's why he voted against. He spoke about his dismissal to Andy Wint on Friday's Man in Line.
I'm very surprised. I'm very disappointed. I clearly do have a long-held, principled, declared position in respect of planning. Back in my manifesto in 2016 general election, I have a whole page entitled Rebalancing Planning. One sentence says, the next government can make what I called the Chief Minister's hissy fit about a particular planning decision in May 2015, the turning point for planning and development. If so, I think my 2-year campaign for rebalancing planning will be validated. I then went on about new planning principles have been agreed, and that was by a committee in part that I chaired. Decisions should be transparent, fair and depoliticised, and so on. So there's a whole page, Andy. Any constituent in Douglas Central, anybody who wants to see my commitment, sees that I've always had this position. It's principled, and it's quite clear I've got that position.
And that presumably would be the mitigating factor which you would state, because obviously decisions in, there has to be a sort of collaborative ministerial responsibility. However, if there is a moral conflict on this, or a manifesto conflict, then that will you can get out of voting with the ministers, and that's your contention then?
Well, it's not moral. It's this item is not in the programme for government. It's not in the budget, and the issue then becomes about whether it's national importance issue. But the most important thing is that the collective responsibility changed in October 2016. I haven't heard the Chief Minister mention that once. I've mentioned it often in Council of Ministers, and I haven't heard the Chief Secretary respond. But essentially, collective responsibility was changed to allow Alf Cannon and Kate Beecroft to come into the Council of Ministers, and essentially we have a Council of Ministers majority vote on adding things into the collective responsibility realm which are of national importance. And okay. We didn't have that vote.
Okay.
And, this item.
Now, you're extremely familiar with this. Most people aren't. So in words of one syllable, where does the conflict in this planning subject, where does it arise in your mind?
It's about the right to a fair process, a human right to a fair process in planning. It's making sure that we don't store up problems in the future for planning decisions, because you've got to remember, once something's built, it's built forever. It won't just be here for the coronavirus period. And essentially, the order that was before Tim Ward on Tuesday would have stored problems, as people like Jane Paul Wilson, a qualified lawyer, laid down very clearly to the Honourable Court. And she was obviously persuasive. Her arguments were very good because government didn't call the Attorney General to contradict anything she said. And pretty much everybody in Tim Ward voted against this order, who wasn't bound by collective responsibility. So that's pretty damning indictment of what was brought forward. I knew that. And therefore, I believe my vote was correct and will always be correct. I do think it's disappointing and surprising that I've been sacked by the Chief Minister in that context. And I do think it would disrupt the development of public policy in the Isle of Man. But I hope in the next couple of days we can move on from that. And basically, I'll make sure that those public policy directions I would have been associated with in government can continue with my new role as a backbencher.
And what about the Chief Minister's contention that you lobbied members of LegCo?
It's the government code talks about crusading for a particular point of view. Of course, when a member of Tim Ward asks me for information, and I told the Chief Minister that five members clearly asked me for information, which I helped them understand, members, the first they knew about this particular order was when it appeared on the Tim Ward order paper just before the long weekend. One member sent me an email with a question about exemptions for planning inspectors, which I forwarded to the officers, and I then forwarded the response from the officers, and there were a few other queries that came up from the six of the members of Tim Ward, and I dealt with those. And I've got to be honest, Tim Ward shines in glory over this decision, because over a bank holiday members got into the heart of some difficult issues in law, some difficult issues in the use of digital technology, and they voted accordingly.
And now, you sound shaken by this decision, Chris.
No, I'm just disappointed. There are some very important things that are going on in Manx public policy, and it's a crucial moment in any government's life. The fourth year of a government's history is when you achieve most in general terms. So immediately I was dismissed. We had to then, well, government will have had to think about how they take through the cost sharing regime for public sector pensions, which is something I've been working on for 3.5 years. And there's a project that's been in train for 10 years. We had to cancel in the Industrial Relations Forum meeting this lunchtime, which is a very important part of human resource activity. I had a phone conversation with Manx Gas and its shareholders lined up for just after the Chief Minister called me into his office. And this will affect, gas negotiations, because that's something that I've been involved personally with for the Council of Ministers. Basically, it's profoundly disappointing from my point of view. This is a very important issue on which I've had a 7-year pre-declared position, a principal position. It's not an issue of national importance and emergency in the sense that a decision needs to be rushed. Exactly as the Tim Ward members who spoke said, this needed more consideration. Planning permission is forever. It's not like how many people can go through a gathering or who can come across our border. It's forever, and we needed to use a period of reflection.
Are you concerned about the conflation of legislation during the pandemic, during the emergency powers?
Exactly. This planning change was already could have been done by regular legislation in emergency powers. It's completely inappropriate to do this. There isn't the backlog impact, and if the backlog was to have been managed using this order that was put before Tim Ward, it potentially would have been made worse, because the legal risk would have increased, according to the honourable members who voted against it and threw it out comprehensively in Tim Ward.
Why didn't you vote during that the border vote earlier on?
Okay, so this is the first time entry restrictions had been imposed legally. Already before members, there was an order to amend the one that was being approved. There were notable omissions about how to deal with quarantine, how to deal with exemptions. All of those things were not covered in that regulation. They needed tidying up, and me, several other ministers had reservations, and many Tim Ward members expressed reservations in the debate. And It's now, I've even been moving amendments to these entry restrictions for government in recent weeks. Essentially, the first order put down there was rushed. It was inappropriate, stored up lots of problems which have had to be solved since. And that was the reason that I chose not to vote positively for it, although I didn't vote against it. And the border policy is absolutely crucial. The Chief Minister summed it up recently. In the recent days, he's been now catching up with where we were at the end of March. Essentially, it's not a binary decision having a closed border or an open border. There's lots of gradations in between, and that first order was clearly not appropriate to handle those gradations. And you know, I express my sympathy, anger in a way, and give my apologies to all the people who've been adversely affected by the border policy as it's been applied.
And it was Dave who prompted that question, Chris. Why did Mr. Thomas abstain from the closed border vote? Well, he didn't abstain, you just weren't there. Does he agree now that it was the wrong decision to not vote? Were you wrong not to vote?
Well, no, as I explained, I've taken the two of the amendments for the entry controls through Tim Wood on behalf of government in the last couple of weeks, and I would have been taking more, I believe. And essentially, it was just that regulation wasn't perfect. It was good. We needed to close the borders, but we needed to close it taking into account all the differences that were being closed, and we hadn't at that point, as proved by the fact that there was an amending regulation before members, even when they were being asked to approve that first that first regulation. We could have done it in a better way.
Now, your portfolio spread right across ministries, right across the Isle of Man government. Before you, of course, it was Mr. Robert Shaw, who admitted to being very frustrated by the role. Were you happy with your performance in the role?
3.5 years I've done the role. It's a very difficult job. I have taken a huge range of things. I chair Council of Ministers subcommittee covering social policy, covering legislation, covering environment and infrastructure. I've taken through 4 bills each year, each of the years of the administration. It is an incredibly difficult job. It still needs thinking through. I was doing it for nearly 4 times the length of time, Mr. Robert Shaw, but what his experience taught me something, and hopefully my experience will be helpful for the next person who assumes the role, whoever that is.
The former Policy and Reform Minister, Chris Thomas, speaking to Andy Wint. You're listening to Agenda on Manx Radio. After the news broke of Mr. Thomas's dismissal on Wednesday evening, the Chief Minister didn't wish to address the issue with Manx Radio until a day later, calling for time to reflect. Chris Thomas said he wouldn't speak until the Chief Minister did, and so on. So to fill the void, I joined Andy Wint on Thursday's Man in Line to explain exactly why Mr. Thomas was sacked and what collective responsibility is.
Last night, big story blew up in the world of politics on the Isle of Man. The Policy and Reform Minister has been booted out. He's been sacked. He's been shown the door after falling foul of the Council of Ministers' rule on collective responsibility. According to the Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, Chris Thomas, MHK, failed to adhere to this principle of collective responsibility, whereby the Council of Ministers has to vote together. Our deputy editor at Manx Radio News, Ewan Gorn, is with me. Ewan, what did Chris Thomas do wrong?
Well, fast am I, Andy. The first of his digressions came when the Douglas Central MHK abstained on the issue of the border closure in mid-March, but the final straw seems to have been when he voted against Tynwald on emergency planning regulations this week on Tuesday. The Chief Minister, in the statement which was released late last night, says this broke the principle of collective responsibility, which is set out in the ministerial code.
What's collective responsibility then? How is this defined, and why do ministers have to take part? Do they sign up to it or something?
Well, it's a convention in our parliamentary system where ministers, even if they disagree with decisions privately, must support all government decisions made in the Council of Ministers when they go to Tynwald. So here's the wording of the code. Where the policy of a particular minister is being challenged, it's the Council of Ministers as a whole which is being challenged. Thus, the defeat of a minister on a major issue represents a defeat for the council. So that's the order. The reason collective responsibility is there is in order to preserve the executive, the cohesion of the government, and maintain that political strength. So on Tuesday, when Chris Thomas didn't vote for a government motion in Tynwald, he broke that rule. And when he didn't vote on the border issue, he also broke that rule.
So it's the three musketeers, all for one and one for all. So why do we need this collective thing?
I guess the argument is if ministers voted how they liked all the time, it would undermine the ability of people to understand what the government line is. It would affect the effectiveness of government as a cohesive unit. It also makes government easier to hold to account if you know they're all voting in the same way. Other issues to do with the collective responsibility include the first among equals status of the chief minister, where executive power is shared amongst the council of ministers. That's to ensure the chief minister doesn't become some kind of presidential figure with too much power concentrated in one hand. It also helps quite simply with joined up policy making. You've got different departments, they all do different things, but there's a lot of interconnectedness. So if you're all going off in different directions, it's not going to help with policy. And also there's we used to have this in the 70s and the 80s, a criticism of politics on the Isle of Man, the danger of unfettered democratic will with a small system with independent representatives. What ends up happening if you don't have an agreed line is often decisions are made at the lowest common denominator a solution is settled on, rather than necessarily the best solution.
Oh, I see. So having independent people is, it can be a blessing, can be a curse. Well, Ewan, do ministers always have to vote with Comyn? Do they always and forever?
Well, no, there are five exemptions to this collective responsibility. These are speaking out on a matter of conscience, having a declared position in something like a manifesto, a constituency matter, something involving your parish or area, unresolved issues, which is a bit of an ambiguous term, but it is included, and issues which are deemed inconsequential. Now, the chief minister, perhaps, is the ultimate arbiter of whether you've broken this ministerial code. So let's just have a look at Tuesday's vote. Government wanted to pass a motion meaning planning appeal inquiries. Individuals can only take part in them through written submissions, so not in person. That was defeated in the Legislative Council, but Chris Thomas in the Keys did vote against. So supporters want this to speed up the appeals process and have written submissions only. Critics say it damages transparency, removes freedom to speak at appeals. But in Chris Thomas's manifesto, this is important, in his manifesto, he said in 2016 on planning, decisions should be transparent, fair and depoliticised. He said that. Now, is this a declared position or not? I mean, that could be the reason why he voted against on Tuesday. And maybe the chief minister has judged it's not a declared position. It might be too ambiguous for the chief minister on that issue. But on top of this, Tim Wald is voting for emergency legislation, not policies put out in the programme for government. So a lot of this is new stuff. Does that have implications for collective responsibility? Mr. Quayle in his statement last night said it's even more important to be unified during an emergency, but some may argue the opposite and that you should speak your mind. One last thing to add though, Andy, is Mr. Quayle may have set a precedent here. If other Comyn members feel they can't stand by positions set out in their manifesto and aren't allowed to speak out about them, they could effectively turn into nodding dogs or yes men, and it could reinforce the popularly held belief that if you don't toe the party line, you're out. A former health minister launched a scathing attack on Mr. Quayle following his decision to sack the policy and reform minister. Liberal Vanin leader Kate Costain was in charge of the health department in the early days of the Quayle administration from October 2016 to January 2018 before she was made to resign. She told Chris Cave the decision to dismiss Mr. Thomas at this time was crazy.
I was quite astonished. I mean, it really is quite hard to believe that somebody who works as hard as Chris does, and to be honest, he's ultra intelligent. He's got sort of more intelligence than I think the rest of us put together. And it would seem to me that only an idiot would sack his most intelligent minister in the middle of a global pandemic. It's just crazy.
That's quite strong wording there. Do you not think it was a justifiable decision? A key member of Howard Quayle's top team who appears to be consistently challenging the government's position in a public domain.
Well, I don't know what you mean about consistently challenging. I mean, as far as I'm aware, he got sacked because of something that he did in March, which I'm sure had it been so bad, he would have got sacked in March. And that sort of the latest time that he voted against government was over a planning matter. Tyndall didn't even support that. It was voted down. His vote would have made no difference. So it can hardly be classed as a matter of national importance.
Liberal van and leader Kate Costain speaking to Chris Cave. Well, that's all from this programme. We'll be back with more from Agenda soon, and you can listen again to this episode online via the Manx Radio website or through Spotify as a podcast. But for now, Guru Mayu and goodbye.